as well. So I'll be bringing just a short closing epilogue to tonight's meeting, to not adding too much more to it. But a question for you. What would you label yourself as? What are some of the things maybe that you would use to describe you? Some of the first things that would come to head. So, okay, I've got how I would describe me. It's probably how no one else would describe me. But what are some of the labels that we do assign? Maybe it's young or old. Maybe it is male or female. Maybe it's along the lines of being tall or short. Maybe it's being muscly or cuddly, shall we say. Generous or stingy. Maybe fun or boring. Might be a label, be the nationality that your passport says. It might be the town that you come from. Maybe you're really proud of that. Or maybe the type of car you drive or the career that you have. There's so many different labels that we use to maybe describe ourselves, to identify ourselves. Maybe it's our relationship status or something to do with our family as well. Loads of different labels that we use to describe our character, our bodies, our personalities, our hobbies, our families. Of course, we're more than a label, aren't we? Labels can change, but tonight I want to think about an identity that is undisputed, that will hopefully, I imagine, will describe everybody. And it's not one that's been mentioned yet, and so maybe we'll, if the PowerPoint will work for this one. It is the label of humanity. Human. Is everyone in here tonight convinced that you're human? No one's going to argue with that. ET's not hiding here somewhere. We have a lot of variety. We have a lot of differences. But each of us, the one unifying label that can go for all of us is human. And so with that classification, maybe sometimes when we're sick, I don't even feel human. Don't even feel alive. But we still are. Maybe sometimes you want to pretend like you're a dog. You're not. Do you think like you're a fish? You're not. Do you want to argue that you're a tree? You're not. Hopefully no one will argue any of those things anyway, although the world does have some strange wonders in it. Each of us has this label of being human. We are of mankind. And so mankind, it refers to all humans. It refers to all of us with our varieties, with our backgrounds, with our different heights and shapes and interests and hobbies, and all of the variety that we have comes under this label of being human. We can move around the world and we can find more differences. We can move backward in time and perhaps find differences too, but right from the start, we are united as humanity, as mankind. And so, as we're going to spend a few minutes looking at the Bible tonight, the Bible makes this claim to be the recorded history of the origin of humanity, and it makes the claim even to be the very Word of God. It makes the claim that this is written by and recorded, inspired by the God who created, the God who designed us, the God who claims to have the authority over each one of us. In fact, claims to have the authority over all of history, over all of mankind, over all created things. And so maybe here tonight, you've got a range of different views and opinions on the world and on a range of beliefs. Problem is, we have to listen to the one who has the authority. We have to listen to the Creator. We have to listen to the designer. Whether or not you want to believe what he says, we have to look to Scripture, to the Bible, to hear, well, what does God say about the world? What does God say about the purpose of mankind? What does God say about the future of mankind? And if we're going to let the Bible speak for itself tonight, God will tell us plainly and simply through his word that there are absolute truths about who we are as humans. That there are, regardless of our opinions, there are clear facts about every human, from youngest to oldest, smallest to biggest. And so the Bible refers to humans as being this label of being in Adam. And so you know of Adam and you know of Eve. And in Genesis 1, we read that Adam was the first human that God created. God formed him from the dust of the ground. He then made Adam's wife, Eve. Adam and Eve were the first humans. They were the originators, in a sense, of mankind. And so the Bible describes you, and it describes me, if you're human, as being in Adam. We're connected to him. We're descended from him. And so this is the label that we have as mankind. We are the offspring of Adam. Simple enough with me so far? So if we were to get your family tree and we were to figure this out, it means that your most distant forefather is Adam. Okay, so you've got your biological father, and then your grandfather, and then your great-grandfather, and then your great-great-grandfather, and then your great-great-great-grandfather. Yeah, we'll stop there, shall we? Eventually, at the end of that line, we have Adam. And so at the very top is Adam. There you go, if you were thinking about going on to some of those websites that map your full family history and your ancestry, I've just saved you the 50 quid. Maybe if you want to give me the 50 quid, at the top of it is Adam. That's your ancestry. That's who we're descended from. And so as the son of Matthew Cuthbert, I not only carry his surname, but I also carry something of his DNA, something of his flesh and blood, in a sense. So you are not the son of Matthew Cuthbert, but you and I do share this wider ancestry as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. What's this got to do with tonight? The urgent warning of the Bible is that every single one of us shares with Adam something that's called the sin nature. Something that means that we are born rebellious against God. We are born as enemies of God. That sin nature is, if you're a descendant of Adam, that's what you have, that's what you are. That is the woven, in a sense, into the fabric of mankind. The moment Adam and Eve sinned against God in the garden, that became imprinted into humanity. That became the legacy of mankind through Adam and Eve. Rejecting God's purpose for them, rejecting God's plan for them, rejecting God's relationship with them. And so as we inherited that sin nature, that is more of a serious threat to you than any bad news the doctor can give you tomorrow. That is more of a serious threat than any illness we can be diagnosed with. Because the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. So what sin rightfully earns, what it rightfully deserves, is death. Death to God's acceptance of us, at a point in time, death to the physical bodies that we have, and for eternity, death to our relationship with God, death to being even in his presence. Thankfully, the Bible doesn't only give us that diagnosis of death for mankind, but it gives us the hope to a dead people, which is why just the title for tonight's message is Life to the Dead. And so we're going to read just two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21 and 22. The passage that Stephen's already read for us as well from John 5 will tie into what we'll be looking at. But 1 Corinthians 15 and just reading verse 21 and 22. And so if I can find it, this is God's word. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. We'll finish just at the end of verse 22. The rest of the chapter there of 1 Corinthians 15, it makes it really clear that this is not a case of, oh, well, all in Adam die, so all in Christ, everyone in the world will go to heaven. That's not what the context of the chapter is saying. Instead, it's actually a warning. It's a warning to say that everyone who is in Adam, so everyone who is born related to Adam, everyone who is got that sin nature is born condemned to eternal separation from God. That is the natural end product of our sin. That is the natural end product of a mankind that is rebellious against God. the second half of Romans chapter 5, it repeats that same theme of death in one man, death in Adam, but life in Christ. Describes Christ as the last Adam. Romans 5 and 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Now, try not to laugh, but this is a graphic that I have made myself. I am considering, seriously enough, a future in graphic design. Maybe not. And so, in a really simple illustration, this is mankind. This is a human, if this is you. You are born in Adam. You are born under the chains of sin and death. And you are born under the condemnation of a holy God because you have rebelled against him. And so, if you recognize the fact that you're a human, which you've all done so far tonight, you have to recognize that if you're going to take the Bible at face value for what it says, time and time again, clearly and consistently and powerfully, this is how the Bible describes you. This is the label that Scripture puts on all who are in Adam, under the verdict of death. And so notice it doesn't go into measuring how good you are. It doesn't get into away scales to say, well, has your good outweighed your bad? Have you been a nice person? Have you been a really helpful person? Have you been thoughtful? It doesn't ask how much you've given to charity. It doesn't ask how many times have you been to church. It doesn't even ask if you believe in God or not, as David said. It's about, are you human? Yes? Then this is God's perspective of you from the moment, in a sense, that you were born because of the sin nature. That's a serious place to be in. And yet the good news that David shared tonight was that he came to realize this warning, that conviction of God showing him his need of a Savior, but also showing him that there is a Savior, that there is a hope, that this is not where we have to stay. This is not who we have to remain. This is not who we have to be, because Christ has earned the forgiveness that we didn't deserve. Through Christ, we can be made right with God. Through Christ, we can pass from death to life. Through Christ, there now is an alternative for all humans. It is not just that you have to be born in Adam, but through Christ, if you're in Christ, you experience the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. You are taken from death into life. You know the salvation of God. And so this is the message of Christianity. It's simple, isn't it? I mean, an idiot with PowerPoint can explain it with two stick men and six small phrases. The message of life, the message of the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came to offer himself as the way out from being in Adam. He came to offer humanity a new identity, a future that is eternal life. Through his death, through his resurrection, every person now has that opportunity to be in Christ. I know many of us here tonight have embraced that. We've trusted in Christ and we found life. We found hope. We still have our struggles. We still have plenty of times where we don't live up to that in Christ level. But in God's eyes, the moment that you trust in him for salvation, you move from death in Adam to life in Christ. And it's eternal. And words can't really describe it. Being completely identified with Jesus. No longer being connected to Adam and to death, but being completely connected to Christ and his life and his holiness and his acceptance before God. That's the decision every person has to make tonight, because The decision is, will I stay in Adam? Will I reject Christ? Am I good enough by myself? Well, Scripture says no. Does God want to save me? Scripture says yes. Trust Him. Receive Him. Realize He is the way, the truth, and the life. Do not stay in Adam tonight under condemnation when Christ is offering salvation and life. And so, the simple message of tonight, these are the only two classifications for all of humanity, for any country and any generation. For all humans, are you in Adam? Are you in Christ? No other way to heaven, no other way to be saved, no other way to approach God and be made right with Him except through salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, as Stephen has read from John 5 as well, just to pick out the reinforcement of that, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. In the verses before that Stephen read, we heard that whoever does not honor Jesus, the Son, does not honor God the Father. It is impossible to please God without salvation through Jesus, because there's plenty of people who believe in God, but Jesus, don't want Him, don't need Him. Good enough by myself. God will accept me because I did X, Y, and Z, or I didn't do A, B, and C. No, it's clear in Scripture that if you haven't trusted in Jesus to save you, then God the Holy Spirit has not connected you to Christ. You are still in Adam. If you hope for peace after your death with God, but you're still in Adam, that is not consistent with anything we read in the Bible. It may be what you hope for, but your belief doesn't change God's reality. I can close my eyes and wish that I was not in this pulpit right now. I really do wish that. You are probably wishing the same thing right about now, but it doesn't change the reality. This is where I am. This is where you are right now. How we feel about it doesn't actually matter, because this is it. It is what it is right at this moment in time. Every human, no matter how you feel about it, is born in Adam and under judgment. But the wonderful news in verse 24, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. What about you tonight? You go home rejoicing that you have been brought from death into life? Are you determined to stay in Adam, to do it your own way, to hope that your belief turns out to be well for you in the end? Well then, you're free to make that decision, absolutely. But it'd be remiss of me to not show and point you to what God's word says. And so just to show you maybe what someone more professional than me can do, this verse, it says it. This verse is the key to the hope in Jesus Christ that perhaps you need to hear tonight. And so just as we finish with a song tonight, Christians, are they good people? David was not a good person when God brought conviction upon him. No, the gospel is for all. All need the gospel. All need the Savior. All need to receive the gift of life from Jesus, the only one who could conquer sin and death. And so true Christians, salvation means a new heart, new desires, changed over time. It means a new identity. Still human, but acceptable before God, welcomed before God, forever to be with God. Matthew 7, it gives a warning that not everyone who says that they're Christians are in Christ. It talks about people who stand before God and say, I did this in your name, I did that in your name, and God says, depart from me, I don't know you. It's a stark warning. Earlier in that passage as well, it talks about how our lives will be the evidence of what we believe. Jesus said, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thorn bushes? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Make sure what you're trusting is in Christ, and that it's easily recognizable in your life. And so I'm going to finish with just two verses and a question tonight, because the conclusion really is this simple. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And 1 Corinthians, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Are you in Adam? Are you in Christ tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that despite humanity being in such a mess because of our treason against you, because of our rebellion against you, we thank you for your incredible mercy that while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Father, for the offer of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the call that you've put out tonight. And we pray, Lord, that each of us would hear that voice. And Lord, believers, we would rejoice in our Savior. And Father, perhaps that like David 6 years ago, Father, that, Lord, someone would recognize in Christ is all of the joy and fulfillment and forgiveness and life that can ever be found. Father, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for your power here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our closing hymn, do remember just there is the tea and coffee in the prayer room there. And if you want to talk more about this, if you want to challenge me on any of this, I'll be there with a cup of tea. We can do that. Or if you want to find out more, ask questions. Is God laying something really on your heart about this and you want to know more about how you can pass from death into life? Chat to David. Chat to any Christian who you know in this building tonight. And we'll stand now, though, and we'll sing our closing hymn 208, It Is Low in the Grave He Lay. This is a victorious song about the resurrection of Jesus Christ that has enabled all who call upon him to pass from death into life. We'll stand and sing this hymn. Thank you, Glenn. Hallelujah, Father, that he did conquer death. He did conquer the grave, and we thank you for the great eternal hope, Lord, that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we praise you, for you are a saving God. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, you would speak on in our hearts, Father, that we would respond, each of us personally, Father, to your power and speaking voice. Bless us, Father, just as we share a cup of tea together, and for those who head home, Father, we pray for safety and travels, and Lord, for, Lord, a walk with you this week ahead. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.